We are looking at the subject, is it baptism or is it belief that saves, the doctrine of salvation? And we're not going to go back through what we did this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians, so if you want to take your Bibles or write down so forth like that, you can. But we're going to take off. We've got a lot of ground to cover tonight on that. But don't forget, Wednesday night, the Von Traeger family will be here, and they'll be singing, and also he'll be bringing a message, and hope you'll be there with us. Father in heaven, we thank you this evening for the word of God. Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, I pray that you help me to feed the flock of God tonight. I pray the Holy Spirit would just take over, and Lord, that I would be hid behind the shadow of the cross. And God, may we see Christ, and may we see his word. And Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, may it conform us to the image of your Son. And God, may we know doctrine and know the truth, Heavenly Father, and know what's right. God, help us tonight to know and remember that Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, stealing the truth from people. And Lord, has stolen the truth from all over the world. God, help us tonight. I pray to be settled and grounded and rooted in the truth of the Word of God in Jesus' name. And I pray that you will be exalted and glorified in this service. Amen and amen. All right, so we're looking tonight about the issue of belief. We looked at dozens and dozens of scripture, and tonight we'll be kicking in here at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 21. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And I know you may just say, "Reggie, this is redundant. You've done this over and over again." Well, God put it over and over again in the Bible. So I think it's good for us to go through just what it does to you when you see this, how thick this is in Scripture. It just kind of cements to you the importance of the doctrine and the truth of it. So anyway, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 13, or verse number 3, I'm sorry. Is it verse number 3, guys? 1 Corinthians 3, is it verse? I don't know. No, that's not it. I may be there. Believe. There it is. Verse 5. "Who then is Paul and the apostles? By ministers by whom you believe." And so what I want you to do every time we see this is just kind of like, why didn't it say baptize instead of believe? It says believe. Why didn't it say baptize? You know, and just understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you there. Verse number 22 in that 1 Corinthians 3:5. That's what we had a while ago. I'm sorry, guys, I got off of that. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 12. "But the rest I speak not of the Lord, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not." That believeth not. Wasn't that the wife wasn't baptized? She didn't believe. She was not a believer. Verse 13, "The woman which hath a husband that believeth not." Again, the emphasis there is on believing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 27. "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast." Again, the emphasis is on believing there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll get up there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 22 through 24. "Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but them that believe not." Again, they're the believing. It's all about believe. It talks about unbelievers and believeth not in verse number 24 down here. Again, the emphasis over and over again is believing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, 2, and verse 11. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now here it is. "Which I preached unto you, which you received, and wherein you stand, by which you're also saved, if you keep memory of that which I preached unto you, unless you have what? Believed in vain." Believed in vain. The emphasis is on believing. Verse number 11, if you can get to verse number 11 there on 1 Corinthians 15. There we go. Verse. "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." And so now we're going to go to chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, I want to say to you that the world, literally the continents are full of people who believe and have been taught in baptismal regeneration. A man just told me before church this evening about a fellow he worked with, about 30 years old. He's trying to witness to him. He said, "Hey, listen, don't worry about me. I'm good." He said, "I was baptized when I was a baby. Me and God's good." And here's the weird thing about it is they give people this false sense of security by being infant baptized or by immersion water. But they really don't. But then if you nail them down, okay, if you were infant baptized and you ask the priest or the preacher, whoever might do it, because there's Protestant denominations who sprinkle babies, okay? And you would ask them, "Okay, can you assure me that I'm going to heaven because I was sprinkled when I was a baby?" They won't give you that assurance. But then they turn around and tell you you don't need to be born again because you was born again when you sprinkled. Craziness. And this is important. This is not a joke. There are what we would call good people who are going to bust hell wide open because they were deceived. And I'll tell you something that's mean and cruel to me, and that's that you take a baby We've got two little twin grandchildren back here. Can you imagine the cruelty of me taking their parents, maybe coming up here in some kind of service, handing them over to a priest, and he sprinkles them and everything's good? Been lied to, deceived, and then they tell that baby, oh, you were sprinkled when you were a child. You were sprinkled. And he gets to be 30 years old and tells everybody, hey, I'm good with God. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. You do that to a baby? You do that to a baby? You lock him into hell? That's why I say it's not no laughing matter. And that's why I don't care what these preachers think about me preaching this. I don't care what they like. They can say what you can comment what you want to comment. You can say what you want to say. I don't hate you. I'm not mocking. I'm not making fun of people. But it's not a laughing matter to lock people in to a false sense of security, thinking they're going to heaven because possibly going to heaven because they were infant baptized or even baptized. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, in whom the God of this world, talking about Satan, who hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's the believing is the critical thing. Verse number 13 of that chapter. We have the same spirit of faith, according to it's written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You don't hear the Apostle Paul in these epistles say, we were baptized and so this, we were baptized and so this, and we were baptized and this. It's believe. Chapter 6, verse number 15. Chapter 6 and verse number 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It doesn't say what part is he that baptized hath with an infidel. What part of he that believeth? All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Believed, again, wasn't even we have been baptized. If this sounds redundant, I can't help it. The scripture is the one saying it over and over again. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Chapter 3, verse number 6 in Galatians. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I want to say again tonight, one of the things that will help you in people trying to mess with your heart and mind about false doctrine is everybody in the world is saved one way, and that's through faith in God's ordained sacrifice, Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. If this was the cross, and this is Adam, and everybody between Adam and the cross, they all believed. If to be saved, they had to believe in the coming substitute Messiah that would die in their place. And God taught that to them through the sacrificial system. From Adam and Eve, clear through. You and I are on the other side of the cross, and we look back and believe upon the Messiah that did come. All people for all time are saved one way by faith in a God-ordained substitute and sacrifice for our sin. No other way. But man comes up with all these different ideologies about, and he'll add to this, that, and the other. Okay, let's go to what we get. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Yeah, we got that. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom he also trusted. After that, he heard the word of truth. There it is. He heard the word, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says, I believe in 19, well, we'll jump that. Let's go ahead, Philippians chapter 1, 29. For unto you is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer. Again, not baptized. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. So these were examples to all that believe in Macedonia, not unto all that were baptized. Chapter 2 and verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. You are witnesses of God also how holy and justly and unblamed we behaved ourselves among you that believe, not that we're baptized. Verse number 13. For this cause we thank God without ceasing because when you received the word of God, you heard from it, you received it not as, and so forth there. Chapter 4 and verse number 14. Chapter 4 and verse 14. If we believe, here it is, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which Jesus. I mean, he's saying there, belief is the basis of your salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. If we can get that guy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, again, not baptized. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 16. 1 Timothy 1, 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which after believe on him to life everlasting. Again, it's belief. All right, let's go to chapter 4 and verse number 3. Forbidding to marry, commanding to stay from meats, talking about false cultures, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving them which believe and know the truth, not are baptized and know the truth. Verse number 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that what?
Believe.
Not those that were baptized, those that believe. Again, just the Holy Spirit's driving this home. I wonder why the Holy Spirit did this. Because the Holy Spirit knew the devil would try to rob people of the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of salvation. And he also, the devil would try to bring in your acts and your works and your efforts and your performance, your religiousness to add to the work of Jesus Christ. All right, we're at chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 16. If any man or woman that believeth hath widows, let him relieve them. Not any man that baptized. Chapter 6, verse number 2. And they that have believing masters. And you just take this thing over and over again. It's not baptized, it's believing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. For which cause also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. There it is. Verse number 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hebrews chapter 3. Just trying to get through these, trying to keep moving as much as we can. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see they could not enter in, not because they weren't baptized. Unbelief. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Not we which have been baptized. Chapter 10, verse 39. Hebrews 10, 39. But this is great. This is one of the passages also, by the way, people talk about losing your salvation. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. If baptism is what saved you, why didn't all these dozens and dozens and dozens of verses that I've given you, why didn't it say baptism? Why did the Holy Ghost say believe? Because it's belief. Because it's by grace are you saved through faith. That's what it is. And again, you know, I'm just being dead honest with you. As I was working on this message and working on this issue, and I'm thankful for it, because when you get out there among people and you get out of your little church fish aquarium, which is important to do, you find out that things are a lot different than you might think they are just right here looking. The world is full of people. I mean, folks, these cities are full of people. And even in our county here, there's lots and lots of churches that believe in baptismal regeneration. I preached a funeral for a man, and it was a graveside service. Several people there, and when I preached it, I preached salvation message, and I preached on Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith. And basically, I just said, you know, I can't do a thing for this man here, but those of you who are here and the family members and friends, you ought to take time right now to think about where you're going to spend eternity. Where would you be if this was your funeral? And I preached. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, now believe this or not, I was standing in a Church of Christ cemetery. Church of Christ sitting right there, and I'm in the cemetery right next to the church. And I'm telling you one thing, when I said amen, and they dismissed, I mean, I didn't get 50 feet, I'm not even that far, till I mean a man come right beside me and said, you need to read Acts 2:38, is what you need to do. You got to be a preacher. It's fun. Anyway, what was getting him? What was bothering him? Why did he pick out that verse? And we're going to get this here just in a little while. We'll get to those things. All right, verse 39. Because how many noticed that I have jumped Acts 2:38? Did anybody pick up on that this morning? That I jumped Acts 2:38? I did, but there's a reason for that. We'll come back to it. I'll show you pretty soon. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You want to please God? For he that cometh to God must do what? Believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse number 31. By faith, the harlot Ahab perished not with them that believed not. And again, Old Testament showing that they were saved by faith in a coming Messiah. And I want to just, before we leave Hebrews chapter 11, the whole issue here is that people were saved and lived by faith. You're not just saved by faith. The just shall live by faith. Four times the Bible says that. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. So it's not just your salvation. It's your very life as a Christian. Okay, let's go to James chapter 2, verse number 19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. What's God trying to teach us? It's not an intellectual belief. By the way, I'll tell you how bad shape we're in. The devils tremble, but we don't. We claim to be saved. We don't even tremble at disobeying God. We don't even tremble at dishonoring God. We don't even tremble at disrespecting God. And a lot of people get hung up on the book of James. The book of James is wonderful. The Holy Spirit knew exactly what he's doing by putting the book of James in the Bible. Don't be afraid of the book of James where it says, I'll show you my faith by my works. You show me your faith without your works. And it teaches how the whole book is to teach you that if you have true believing salvation, belief of salvation, it will produce good works. All works before salvation, I don't care. If you're taking care of your grandma, I don't care if you're taking care. I don't care how good you are and what you give. If you're not saved, the Bible calls that dead works. The nuns up there this morning that are going around patting people's hands and the priest patting people's hands at the hospital and having prayer with them, it's as dead as a Mac. Ain't doing them a dime's bit of good, nobody. If you're not saved and you patch up the roof for a widow, that's dead works. Don't mean anything. Any works you do that do not bring glory to Jesus Christ is dead. And God, it don't count for nothing. In fact, it may really be weighed against your account because you're trying to subvert God's glory by your goodness, by your good works. Thine is the glory. That's a little tough preaching, but it's just the truth. All right. So James 2, verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled. It said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You don't be a friend of God? Believe God about this. All right. Let's go 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Verse number 8. Now, this is a big verse. This verse has helped me. Whom have you not seen? I've never seen Jesus. You've never seen Jesus. Whom have you not seen, you love. How can you love somebody you've never seen? By the hearing of the word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Whom have you not seen, you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. I'll just be honest with you. This past week, I got on my knees and I said, God, I ain't never seen you and I've never seen Jesus Christ. And I'm struggling in my heart about some issues. But God, I believe.
Amen.
I don't feel so hot right now spiritually. I don't feel real spiritual right now. But God, I still believe you. And I've never seen you. But Lord, I love you. And I've never seen you. Boy, you talk about some good stuff. You got to study the brides of the Bible. Someday I want to. I've been wanting to for 2 or 3 years preach a whole series of messages on brides of the Bible. Because what it shows you is the relationship of Christ and the church and everything that Christ does in and with the church. But anyway, all right, where are we at? First Peter 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, give glory, your faith, the hope might be in God. Again, believe. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that is baptized shall not be confounded. He that believeth. He that believeth. Verse number 7. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made ahead of the corner. I'm going to stop just a minute and just say something to you. When we talk to people about salvation, or we ask somebody about salvation, or we're just discussing with people about their faith, again, I say it again this morning, there will be 50 people nearly tell you to one that they've been baptized is who will tell you they've been born again. That's just an honest fact. If you've dealt with people in a spiritual realm, most people will tell you about their baptism, but they will not tell you about when they're born again. That scares me. Amen. That bothers me. And I want to ask you tonight, and you listening, if somebody's asked you about your spiritual condition, would you say, well, I was baptized in... But can you tell them when you were born again? when you've placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, that He died for you on the cross and His blood paid, His shedding of His blood, His death paid for your sins, and you trusted in Him alone. There's a reason people will tell you about their baptism rather than their birth, their new birth. It's an act. And it's biblical, but they lay hold of it as a basis, and it makes their flesh feel good. You just think about it. You just think about it. Why don't people say, you know what, I was born again on such and such day, or I was born again in 1972, or I was born again in 1993. You don't hear people say that. It makes me wonder why this nation is in the shape it's in. Are we just a nation of lost religious people? I'm going to be honest with you. This is the flat out truth. I bet you I was at the altar between church and camp. I bet you I was at the altar 12, 15 times between the time I was 5 years old and 28 years old. And I was baptized. I was lost. But I'm going to tell you this. You can believe this or not, I don't care. January the 24th, 1982, I came to the cross. I didn't come to church. I didn't come to a religion. I didn't come to a denomination. I came to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, God, I'm a hell-deserving sinner. I am guilty as hell itself. God, there is nothing to all of my profession. God, I need your forgiveness, and I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I was born again. I got baptized after that. Because it hit me one day, you know what? I need to be baptized. And I will say this to you, that ever since then, I never said, well, I went forward when I was five, or I went forward. I quit saying that. Because I knew it didn't amount to anything. And now what I say is, on January the 24th, I was saved. I was born again of the Spirit of God. That's what counts. Okay? And I just want to encourage you. I'm not up here to put you on some kind of a... If the Holy Spirit puts you on a guilt trip, that's fine. But I'm just telling you. I'm trying to, get this across. All right, First John chapter 3, verse number 23. This is His commandment. What? What's God's commandment? That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at this. We've been listening to what we listened to what Jesus said all through the Gospels. We looked at the Acts of the Apostles all through that book of Acts. We've looked at all the Pauline epistles. We're looking at John the Beloved right now. If baptism is what saved you, why did the Holy Ghost not tell him that we should get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? God's not, I want to tell you one thing about God Almighty. He don't tinker. He don't play mind games with you or me or nobody else. God is clear. He don't play mind games. He's not just kind of boogering around in the bushes saying, can you see me now? Can you see me now? Did you get it? Can you find it? Uh-uh. He means what he says. And for people to take one, two, or even three verses, can I tell you that Satan did three temptations on Jesus? He didn't just use one verse. Why is it that these people who believe in baptism or regeneration take two or three verses out of the Bible to build their whole theology on and act like this didn't even hear? There's something wrong with that, folks. There's something bad wrong with that. It's called lying. Okay, 1 John 3:23, we've got that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath given to us. God has loved and dwelt in it. We've what? Believed. Let's go to chapter 5 now. 1 John chapter 5. This verse here freed my soul, okay? This verse here freed me from the bondage of works religion and the fear of performance to be saved, to keep saved. And I will tell you something. And I know you're probably tired of hearing me say that. I went to church 13 years straight in a row. I mean, not missed a Sunday, okay? I had the pins for it, okay? That and the other 20-some years, I didn't miss many times, okay? I do not remember in 28 years of going to church anybody preaching on this text. If they did, I guess I was asleep. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Did you get that? That's what your Bible says. That didn't say whosoever gets baptized in water is born of God. Why don't they preach that? Why don't they bring that verse up? I come home from a revival meeting up at north of Springfield one night. I was in Buffalo, Missouri. I stopped at a place to get something to eat, and I sat down. I was eating my food. Man, this guy comes over, and he plops down just the other. He didn't say, hey, can I sit down or nothing. He just plops down. He starts in on me, Pentecostal oneness. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I'm your pastor, and I love you. If you don't like this, there's other places you can go. But you stay away from those people. They're dangerous as a cock cannon. And some of you listen to me, you need to get out of that place.
Amen.
They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in grace. They don't believe you're saved unless you speak in tongues. It's a mess. And they're rabid about it. And they're intimidating about it. All right. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this that we know that we are the children of God, we love God, keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that what? Believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Go ahead. For there are three. Now watch this. Now the Pentecostal oneness, people do not believe, the Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Mormons don't believe in the deity. Catholicism does believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. That's why Catholics are easier to win to Christ. They're easier to see salvation than a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness, because they do believe at least that Jesus Christ is God. Your Pentecostal oneness people do not, they believe that they'll take the verses, what God is one. They do not, I'm going to fix this for you forever. If you'll believe this verse, it'll fix it forever. By the way, if you have a Bible that's not the King James Bible, it will not have that verse in it. 1 John 5:7. This verse is hated by Satan more than any verse I know in the Bible. There are how many?
Three.
There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and if you know anything about reading Scripture, the Word is talking about Jesus Christ in the beginning, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 14, all through John chapter 1. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, here's what they'll tell you. Oh, we don't believe in the Trinity. Now, here, and the reason I say this is because these are the people who take Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and say, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if you've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, they do not believe you've been baptized properly. And they believe your baptism saves you, and that if you've been baptized with the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, your baptism's no good. And here's why. They say in Acts 2:38, it says baptized in Jesus' name. And they say that Jesus is that God is not three, God is one. And they'll go back and they'll say, and the Bible does say that. It says it right there. These three are what? One. But the one are what? Why don't they say that?
Yeah.
Then go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, there you are.
Listen. You know, I told him, he said, you're not saved, buddy.
That's it.
And you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ
only
to be saved.
That's exactly right.
And I mean, he was militant.
I've had the same thing. They are militant about this, and they'll make you feel like you're an idiot and you don't know anything about the Bible, and that if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, your baptism is null and void and of no value to you whatsoever. This is why I held off on Acts 2:38. Now turn in your Bibles to Acts 2:38, okay? I know you got to go make a living tomorrow. My business is to preach the Word of God. I'm feeding the sheep. Amen. You get out there tomorrow and run into a bad weed or see a wolf, you're going to have something to help you with. Right? Acts 2:38. Let's look at verse number 37. Peter's been preaching here, day of Pentecost, all right? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, now here is their verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's true. There's nothing wrong with that verse. Not a thing in the world wrong with that verse. But you take that verse and pull it out of the Bible and neglect all these other verses, that's how they build that. Jesus himself said to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus Christ himself said to do that. But they'll take this verse and claim that God is not a triune God. Genesis chapter 1 says, let us make man in our own image. Let us make man in our, plural, us, plural, our, plural, image. You know what the cults will tell you? Well, he was talking to the angels. No, he wasn't. Angels don't create nobody.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, so now let's go back. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. Let's go back to First John chapter 5. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and I want to give you, I mean, this will help you. 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to continue on down through there what all this leads up to here. Okay, all right, there we got verse number 7. There are three that bear record in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God that he hath testified of his Son. Now watch verse number 10. He that believeth, not he that is baptized, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. What is that? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the child of God. That's Romans, okay? Because he believeth, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, not him that wasn't baptized, him that believeth not hath made God a liar because what? He believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Now I want to ask you something. Do you believe that God... God has a record. How many's got a marriage certificate? How many might have a title or a deed to a piece of land or real estate? Where are those recorded? We have officers in our counties called the county recorder's office. They keep records. Are you kind of glad there's a record over there? Somebody walked into your place and said, "That's my house. Get out of there." And they claimed it. You know what you're going to do? You're going to go back to the record, right? Okay. Believe you me, the idea that we even have of records comes from the Bible. God has a record. And the Bible said, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. God says, if you don't believe, watch this, the record that God gave his Son, you've made God a liar. Now, I want you to get that. If you don't believe, if I don't believe the record that God gave of his Son, you're calling God a liar. And the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. The Bible said that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. Woo! Now let's see. Okay. God says, if you don't believe the record that God gave his Son, you've made him a liar. Serious, serious business, right?
Yep.
Okay, here it is. God doesn't leave you wondering what the record is. This is the record that God hath given to us. What? Now, all you got to do is define what's eternal life. It's eternal. It is the life that God gave us when we were born again of the Spirit of God. God gave us eternal life. And it's the gift, the Bible calls it the gift of eternal life. Okay? If it's eternal, if it is truly eternal, and it ever stopped, was it eternal? Couldn't have been. If you backslid and lost your salvation, let me tell you what the problem is. They're not preaching the salvation of God. They're preaching their own man-made concept of salvation. The salvation that God gives people is eternal life. Now watch this carefully. Read your Bible. This is the record. It's God's record that God hath given. You did not earn it. You did not merit it. For by grace are you... Our starting verse this morning. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God hath given to us eternal life. Now watch this. This life is in His Son. It's not in how well you live. Not how much you go to church, how much you give, how good you are, how nice you are. Nothing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Now a lot of people don't like this kind of preaching. You know why they don't like this kind of preaching? Because it knocks their self-righteousness right underneath them, right out from underneath them. It knocks the props of self-righteousness. And the other part about it is it's hard for them to believe because they've always believed they have to live to a certain somebody's prescribed level of righteousness in order to stay saved. And they just don't understand. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't understand salvation. I just didn't understand it. Yeah, I knew Jesus died on the cross, and I thought that was awful nice of Him. But I thought it's how good I lived, whether I went to heaven or not. Now watch this. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Where? Not he that was baptized. Right. Not he that was put in water. Not he that was sprinkled. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Your eternal salvation is based upon whether you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. These things have I written unto you that believe. Not baptized. That believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have present tense right now eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will. That's the Bible. That's your Bible. And I'm telling you, now, what's this here? Pentecostals want us, and I'm picking on them tonight, but I don't care as far as I'm concerned. They just will be Jehovah's Witnesses. They just will be Mormons. And I want to tell you what. Now, it's going to get you. God says, I wrote you a record. Bring that back down. This is a record God's given us eternal life. All of them believe that you're saved by your performance and that you can lose your salvation. Even though you got baptized in the name of Jesus, like they said to Dean, is this not true? You can still lose it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you tell me, what good did it do you to get baptized in Jesus' name only? It's garbage. It's worse than garbage. It's mean. It's entrapping people, lying to people, taking people to hell. It's not funny. Not funny to me at all. And I'll tell you something further. It's not funny to God at all. Because this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. They say, oh, you can't know. By the way, they'll say, you can't know you're going to heaven. You won't know till you die. There's all kinds of Protestant denominations across Wright County and Douglas County that they don't believe you can know you're saved. You won't know till you die, according to them. Come on, be honest. You've got relatives, you've got friends, you've got neighbors. They'll sit there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and spend their whole life and raise their kids in a false gospel.
That's right.
Sad. Amen. If you ever get a hold of this, it'll change your life. It'll change your world. I can have sympathy with it. I understand it. I was there. I know how they think. It's almost pious to think that I need to live good enough to please God enough to go to heaven. It makes me a nice person because I'm so humble that I believe I've got to be such an obedient and obey all his commands. And I just got to be nice and not sin any more than I can possibly sin and be so nice. And you know, and if I'm that kind of person, God will surely let me into heaven. And boy, if I go to church faithfully and I give and I'm nice to people and I'm kind and maybe, you know, boy. So that's what saves you? So that's what keeps you? Not what your Bible says. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to be very long for this old boy standing. I'm going to die and face God. Not too long. It's not going to be what I think or what some denomination taught. It's going to be what this book say. And he opened the books and they were judged out of those things in the book. That's what's going to count. Okay. Let's go to Jude chapter 5. I spent a little more time on that than I really wanted to. We'll try to keep moving along here, but we're not going to get out here. We'll get you a sandwich and a glass of milk because we're Jude chapter 1, verse number 5. I will therefore put you remembrance, though once you knew this, that how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed who? Them that believe not. All right, now, write this down in your Bible. We're going to jump now to baptism. We're going to look at the baptism verses, okay? Write this down somewhere in the flyleaf of your Bible. Belief determines behavior. Now listen to me tight right here. This is something the Bible drills home. It's not just intellectual belief. It's not just saying, I believe. It's not just saying. Belief, write this down. Belief determines behavior every time. And what you practice is what you believe. Everything else is hypocrisy. What you put into practice is what you honestly believe. Everything else is hypocrisy. Belief determines behavior. It's clear, scripture. Belief determines behavior. I didn't say you wouldn't sin. In fact, if it is, when you sin, your belief will determine your behavior. If you're saved and you believe, you'll confess and you'll have godly sorrow. You won't say, well, it don't matter, and, you know, everybody sins, and blah, blah, blah. No. Okay. What you practice is what you really believe. The rest of it's just junk. Okay, let's look at baptism. Can we jump up there to our baptism verse, guys? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 2. Now, everybody get a hold of this. Try to do this as quick as possible. Now, remember in the book of Hebrews, he is talking primarily to the Hebrew people who had accepted Jesus Christ. They come out of Judaism. And Christ. Now, all scripture is profitable, so it's to us, but primarily it was to the Hebrew people, okay? By the way, the book of James, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Watch this. Pull that down to verse number 1, guys, if you can. Therefore, leaving the principles of the, here it is, doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He said, listen, let's get past this. All right, let's get past just being saved, past understanding who Christ is, get past growing in the Lord, past, you know, understanding the doctrine of repentance and understanding dead works and faith toward God. Now, here we go, of the doctrine of baptisms. That's what your Bible says. The doctrine of baptisms. What's the doctrine of baptisms? All right, go ahead. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes are not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. There's three baptisms in one verse. Baptism of repentance, baptism with the Holy Ghost, and baptism with fire. What are you going to do with that? So when somebody's telling you about being baptized and talking about they know about baptisms, ask them if they know the doctrine of baptisms. Okay? And here's the key to that, because if you're reading a verse and it's talking about a baptism, well, which baptism is it talking about? That's what you need to figure out first thing. What baptism is it talking about? Let me just tell you, what is a baptism of fire? You ever heard of armies talking about baptism of fire? The first time they got under gunfire at them. I ain't never been there, but everybody I've talked to says it will do something to you. Baptism, but I do know what it is, a baptism of fire in the ministry. is when everybody's against you, everybody thinks you're stupid, everybody's mad at you, everybody hates your guts. Everybody thinks you're a fanatic, everybody thinks you're crazy just because you believe the Bible. When you lose friends, you lose family, you lose things because you believe the Bible. There's a baptism of fire. Going through the fire of persecution, through the fire of trial, the fire of trouble. And if you follow Christ, you're going to go through that. I'm sorry. Now, what did fire do to the three Hebrew children? They had a baptism of fire. But who was with them? Christ was with them in the fire. And you'll never know the presence of Jesus till you've allowed yourself to go through the baptism of fire. John was baptizing people into repentance. That's why I went later on in the book of Acts, baptizing the faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel, okay? All right, now let's go to Matthew 28:19. Just looking at the subject of baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this, is interesting. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you. One of the things Jesus taught them to do was to get baptized. Nothing wrong with getting baptized. You ought to get baptized. You better get baptized. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ, this is Apostle Paul, wrote most of your New Testament books. Watch this. Look at this. For Christ sent me not to baptize. If baptism saves you, why didn't he send him to baptize? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? Preach the gospel. The gospel's what saves people. Amen. You ever hear it? Did you ever hear the baptism of regeneration? People quote that verse to you? Well, now listen, I believe infant baptism saves you, and believe being baptized, or I believe saves you. And I want you to know the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was not sent to baptize. It's that important. I'm telling you right now, if baptism saves you, that verse wouldn't even be in the Bible. Okay, by the way, they don't like the preaching of the cross. They like the preaching of baptism. Yeah. Oh, my. All right, here we go. Did I get chapter 1, verse 13 there? What have I got down there, guys? Chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 16. Try that out. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What's this? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say I baptized my own name. Can I tell you something? That if the Apostle Paul believed what these baptism regeneration people believe, every time he led somebody to Christ, he said, come on, come on, hurry up, get in the water. How in the world can a man who claims to be the greatest apostle of the Bible walk off after he's, quote, led people to Christ and not baptize them? If baptism saves you, why didn't Paul baptize them? Why did he go on to the next city? They could have died in their sins. Craziness. Yeah. Craziness. Anyway, verse 16 there. All right, let's go to Acts 2:38. Here again, this is big verse. I mean, this is their big verse. Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you something on that about Jesus Christ. Watch this. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When that was that is referring to that, and that's talking about the fact that they're baptized in Jesus' name, in that he's the one who died for them, he's the one who was buried, he's the one who is resurrected, but those three are one, and Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and it does not mean that there's not three. And I want to ask you this, all right, let's just do a little logic. If that verse is the central verse to salvation, which they say it is, and if you don't obey that verse, you're not saved. I've had them tell me that on Facebook. I've had them tell me that in person. Why did Jesus say, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Because if that's the case, then there's a contradiction in Scripture. And there is no contradiction in Scripture. The contradiction's in them, not in God. All right, 1 Peter 3:21. Here's another verse they use to teach baptism or regeneration. Watch now. The like figure... Back down to verse 21. Now watch this. This is good. They will quote you verse 21, but they will not quote you verse 20 because verse 20 kills their application or interpretation of verse 21. Watch verse 20. which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. They take that and say, there, we're saved by water! And in John chapter 3, they'll say, except to be born again of water and the Spirit. And they'll take that and say, baptized. If you take John chapter 3, verse 5, where it says water and the Spirit, you got baptism before you do the new birth. They like that. But that's not talking about baptism. If God just wanted to say baptism, he'd have said baptism right there. He said water. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, by the washing of the water of the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. But there's something else to that. It just follows that by saying that which, watch this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You know what? They call a birth of a physical fleshly birth as a baby a water birth. What does a woman do when she gets ready to have a baby? Her water breaks. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There's three things there that, you know, that people say about that. But now watch this. Verse 21 is their big verse. Keep it down just a little bit, guys, if you don't care, because I want to. They like this part of it right here. Eight souls were saved by water. Now I've got a question to ask you. How wet did Noah get? How wet did Noah get? If you just think logically, you know that that's not talking about getting dunked in water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, here it is, doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says what it says. But that's their second verse. Acts 2:38 is their first verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 is their second verse. And the last part of verse 20 is their super verse. But you'll never hear them give you the verses I've given you here today. Never. And there's something bad wrong with that. Because, no, I'm going to give you something tonight. You got to write this down in your soul. Never interpret the Bible. You are forbidden by the Word of God to interpret the Bible. No scripture is given of any private interpretation. You're to rightly divide the Word of truth. That means you compare scripture to scripture and let the Bible interpret itself. And this is where we've gotten to. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't get upset. But here in Norwood, and I'm sure they meant well, but somebody sent out a Bible to everybody. I think, did anybody besides me get a Bible in the mail? Raise your hand. In the Norwood area, they sent this Bible out. And by the way, it's a King James Bible. It's a Jimmy Swagger study Bible. And I thought, man, this is cool. Somebody did a great thing, you know. I'm not going on. I mean, you know, Jimmy Swagger, but you know, I want to try to give, you know. But I opened it. Guess what? It's a mess.
Yep.
I mean, you're not reading the Bible, you're reading Jimmy Swaggart. He'll go right down through there on the King James Bible, and he'll split a verse in two and write a paragraph, and you'll get another part of the verse, and he'll write another deal, and all his comments are in red and everything else in black, and you can't even read it for reading Jimmy's thoughts on the Bible.
That's right.
I mean, I just put it back, and I said, Lord have mercy, God save us from this. Anyway, I got to keep trucking. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, here it is. Now watch this. Bring it down to verse 1, guys. Moreover, brethren, I would that ye should not be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. How many knows what that's talking about? Under the cloud, passed through the sea. Talking about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, right?
Amen.
And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of them got wet coming through the Red Sea? See the doctrine of baptisms? There's a baptism unto Moses. There's a baptism unto repentance. There's a baptism of fire. There's a baptism of Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. Now I'm going to dive off the edge here a little bit, all right? If you disagree with me, it's fine. When you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know primarily we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ at salvation. That's a fact. We read those scriptures this morning. But I want to say something to you tonight. A lot of your old-time preachers, especially back in the 16th, 17th, 18th century, believed there was something even further for the men of God. And it has to do with getting the unction. It has to do with God doing a work of the Holy Spirit in that man, a baptism in the power and the Holy Spirit of God to where that man was anointed and given unction of God to preach and declare the word of God, with preach the truth with love and pour his soul out for Jesus' sake and for the lives and souls of people. And if you want to know the truth, that's what happened to Peter. Before the day of Pentecost, Peter was saying, I don't know who he is, and he cursed to try to prove it. But once the Holy Ghost did something to that man, he stood up boldly and said, you men of Israel, and he said, you crucified the Son of God. 3,000 people saved. He didn't care who heard him and didn't care who liked it. Something happens to them. Now, you listen to me. I'm not trying to be super spiritual or nothing about it, because I mean, tell you what, I'm sorry, dog. But I'm going to tell you something I knew when I surrendered to preach. I knew I needed God to do something in my soul. Amen. In fact, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The night I was saved, the night I surrendered to preach, I stayed there a long time. I didn't get up 5 minutes. I was probably there 45 minutes or an hour. And I knew what was going on. God was washing a bunch of junk out of my soul. God was doing the work inside me. And I'm going to tell you something. I told God, I said, God, I'm willing to preach, but you got to do something to me tonight. And from here on, and that is, you got to take the fear of man out of me. I cannot preach this. I knew there's something inside my soul. I knew I couldn't preach the Bible and be worried about what everybody thought, be it family, friends, everybody. And I said, God, you got to do something. Now, I don't know how to explain this, but I can tell you, I went through my first baptism of fire when I preached on Catholicism, and the articles in the paper, Springfield paper. I mean, they called my phone, papers come out and papers against me. They called me everything, maybe. Springfield News Leader called me up, said they were going to ruin me and my family. I mean, and I was in the fire. And I went up in the woods behind my house, and I laid on the ground. I just fell on the ground, stretched out. I said, God, I mean, it hurt. And I'll just be really honest with you. It's like your family says, Lord, have mercy. I had very, very close family members tell me, said, Reggie, why don't you just back off? Quit causing so much stuff. You're not making it easy. And I knew it. I felt bad. I hate to see my family. They're out in town. Somebody says, oh, your brother Reggie, you preach this. Hard for them to take. I always tell my family members, I'm not stupid. I know a lot more about what goes on than you think I do. And I thank God he's given them the grace that he has. But I was on that ground, and I told God, I said, I didn't call myself to preach. And God, you've got to do something in my soul for me to go on. And I'm just dumbest hibbly the way I know to tell you. Is that I prayed till I didn't know how to pray no more. I got up, I didn't feel a bit different. I walked back down the hill and I started across that little creek, and I'm going to tell you, heaven came down. I can tell you this spot, I can take you to the spot. And you say, Reggie, you're talking about experience here. I don't know, you say what you want to. But I'm telling you, there was such an infusion and power of the Holy Ghost came on me. I jumped across that creek and I said, God, I'll charge hell with a squirt gun now. I'll tell you what, I'll bring them on. And God can put something in you and empower you and enable you and equip you to do what he's called you to do. That doesn't mean you're going to holler, hoot, and run or anything. But it means that he's preparing you and giving you the power you need from heaven to do what he's called you to do, okay? Let me get off of that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 2, we got that. Baptism of Moses, chapter 12, verse 13. For but one spirit, we're baptized in one body. There's a spiritual baptism into the body of Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Verse number 22. I'm sorry, folks, about being long. I know tomorrow's Monday and I got to go to work, but you know what? We got to put God first sometime or another in our life. We need to put God first. Acts 16, 22. The multitude rose up together against them. I've got the wrong verse. One's where they called upon the name of the Lord. I've got the wrong verse there. Go ahead. And here's the issue. Let me just say something to you. You can have false professions in people who believe that believing saves you, and you can, and of course, you can have the false profession in believing baptism saves you. Don't mean they just got dunked. Okay? Just because you say, well, I believe believing saves you, doesn't mean you say, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can believe that, but have you gotten saved? Okay? There's false possessions both ways. let's go to Hebrews 6:2 again. Well, we got that. We got that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:2. We got that. Okay, let me give you a wild one. 1 Corinthians 15:29. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:29. I'll give you a favorite Mormon verse. You talking about cherry picking? I'll give you, watch this here. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? And the Mormons take that and say, that's why they have proxy baptism. You got a loved one that died 200 years ago? You can go get baptized for him. And supposedly, somehow or another, that's supposed to help him get to heaven someday. Mormonism is idiocy. Can I just be honest with you? It's craziness.
Amen.
You got to throw the Bible plumb out. And they'll pack one around, but they don't believe it. They pack it around to fool you. What they really believe is the Book of Mormon and what the church teaches them. Hey, it ain't been that long ago they didn't even believe black people could be saved.
That's
the truth. They didn't believe black people could be saved. You kids stay away from Mormonism. It's sick. And that doesn't mean I love them. I want them to be saved. But I'm not going to be silent and let you put your poison down in the souls of people. Matthew 20, 22. Jesus says, "To know you not, are you able to drink the cup that I drink of, to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? You willing to go? That's not water baptism. That's talking about baptism in the ministry of baptism, serving the Lord." Mark 10, verse 38 and 39. Mark 10, 38 and 39. We can get that, and we'll try to get done here in just a little bit. Jesus said to them, "You know what? Watch this. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Be baptized, and drink of, and so forth like that." And I'll just tell you what he's really talking about right there. Well, watch this. He's talking about his death, his sufferings, his death, and his rejection. Okay? I'm going to ask you tonight. Can you? You know what they're asking? He's asking them. Can you be baptized with it? Can you take it? If your faith in Christ caused you to lose your family, if it caused your children to hate your guts, to be ashamed that you're their father, can you take it? Can you take it if your folks disown you because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Can you take that kind of baptism? Can you die to yourself? Can you die to your dreams, your ambitions, your pleasures, everything you wanted to do with your life? Can you die to that? It's a baptism. And this is the kind of stuff that made American churches what they were back in the 1700s, 1800s. They understood this stuff. They understood the doctrine of baptisms. We've already talked about, I'll just kind of try to finish here by saying infant baptism and baptism regeneration is dangerous. It gives a false sense of security and safety, and multitudes are in hell over it. In closing out, 1 Corinthians 1:17, why did Paul say he was not sent to baptize? Because baptism was not the issue of salvation. He was sent to preach the gospel. Question tonight to ask, why was if you get a chance, put those up, guys, you can. Why was Jesus baptized if it saves you? Was Jesus a sinner? See, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe Jesus was not God, and he was conceived of God, but he's not really God himself, and that he needed to be baptized as part of his purification and part of his growth in what God sent him here to do. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you think that Jesus Christ got baptized to wash away his sins, you don't know Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The Bible said, who did no sin, harmless and holy, undefiled. That's who Jesus Christ is. He didn't get baptized to wash away his sins. What is the emphasis on Scripture? Is to believing or baptism? It's clearly believing for salvation. Again, what about the thief on the cross? He couldn't get down to get saved. And of course, they try to wiggle out of that by saying, well, that was before Jesus died. It don't have anything to do with it. Jesus said this day. What about people who are dying, no way to get them to be baptized? As I said this morning, you go to hospital. I mean, I know that they once in a while you'll have people that they take something to a hospital and they'll pull people out of a hospital bed and baptize them. That's very, very rare. But if you're dying in the hospital and you want to be saved and they got to bring a tub in for you to get saved, something. Does that seem a little odd? In John 4:1-2, I want us to get that up, guys. And if we can, First John, John chapter 4. Do you know the Bible said Jesus himself baptized not? John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, if we can get that. And anyway, we'll get that. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made him baptize more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. I close my case. Now I'm going to tell you something. Baptism is important. Don't ever not place importance on baptism, because it speaks of your faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you believe that he died for you, was buried, take away your sins, risen from the dead to give you eternal life. It is important, and you should be baptized after you get saved, but not to be saved. Okay? You need to teach your kids this. Children across the world are taught today that because they were sprinkled when they were little, or people are being taught because they've got baptized that they're going to go to heaven or possibly might go to heaven, and they're hanging their soul, internal soul, on a false doctrine. It's so sad. And if you're listening online tonight, I want to tell you something. You can be mad at me if you want to, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. And at judgment day, I won't have to apologize. I won't have to say, well, I thought about it, but I just afraid you wouldn't like it. You might quit listening. You quit listening if you want to. But we've heard the truth. And I love you tonight. And I want to say this last thing before I go. John the Baptist had started his ministry. And a bunch of that religious crowd came down from Jerusalem to get baptized. We're going to get baptized. Man, this is the thing going on. This is the hot deal. They're having revival down there at the Jordan River. We want to get in on it. And they come and said they want to be baptized. You know what John told them? Watch this. You bring forth fruit of repentance. I'm not baptizing you because you don't really believe. You're just doing this to make a religious show. And I'm not a baptizing you. And I think us preachers would do well sometimes, Danny, if we'd say, you know what? I ain't God, but I don't like what I see. And I ain't seen no fruit. He said, there need to be some fruit of repentance. Or I'm not baptizing. How many's ever seen a preacher say, well, I ain't baptizing you? How many of you would be mad at me if your child wanted to be baptized and I said, I don't think I ought to? Would you be mad at me? Let's stand.